So the title of today's sermon is The Path of Life. Can we say that together? Amen. Let's open our Bible. Matthew 7, verse 21 to 23. Matthew 7, verse 21 to 23. By the way, I like your blend of blue. Matthew 7, 21 to 23. Yes, who's ready? Matthew 7, 21 to 23.
Matthew 7, verse 21. I'm reading New King James Version. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? 23. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who prophesy, who practice lawlessness.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much, my brother. I enjoyed that. Yes, New Living Translation on Amplified, Matthew 7, 21 to 23. New Living Translation, and then we go Amplified.
It's New Living.
Yes.
Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven.
Not everyone who calls out to Jesus, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Who said so?
Jesus.
Pay attention. Don't ever deceive yourself. Don't get it twisted. Jesus is giving you pure truth. Pay attention. Yes, continue, please.
Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's law. Amen.
From me, you who break God's. So that means that God's laws are important. Who said so? Jesus. Amplified. Matthew 7, 21 to 23. Amplified. Please listen.
Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and driven out demons in your name and done many mighty works in your name? And then I will say to them openly, publicly, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who act wickedly, disregarding my commandments.
They act wickedly. But what is God's definition of wickedness? Wickedness is someone who disregards God's commandments. Why? Because God's commandments are the basis for righteous living. Amen? Psalm 19 says the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. God's commandments are the basis for righteous living. So someone who disregards God's commandment is a wicked person. It doesn't matter if they gave you money rather than stealing it. If they disregard God's commandment, they are what? They are wicked at heart. Because the basis for righteousness is God in your heart. Yeah? Being Lord over every aspect of your life. When you kick God out and you want to do it your own way, to kick God out from being at the center is wickedness. Because you don't have any other moral compass. Your moral compass is God. When you lost your compass, you are lost. Amen? If you lose your compass, what are you? Lost. Amen. Now let me go into some teaching. Why is it possible that someone we call Jesus Lord? Every day they say, Jesus, you are Lord. And yet, they won't enter the kingdom of heaven. It's Jesus who said this. Pay attention. I'm trying to teach something very important here. Yeah? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So this person has found himself in church or in the midst of gospel and has learned to call Jesus Lord. Or they sang the creed. You know the creed? What did he say? I believe in the name of... Sang it with a beautiful voice. Yeah, but Jesus is saying that not everybody who does that, we enter. Yeah? Get the point. The point is that they started on the way, but they won't enter. Amen? Why? I need some answers. Unless what we just read is not true. But if it's true, we should ask ourselves the question. Why? Why is it so that someone can call Jesus Lord and yet still not enter? What can be the problem?
I think he has given his life for us.
Yes, so someone who believes that, why would they not still? Why is it possible that someone can believe that and not enter? He said, I believe in Jesus, and they called him Lord. But they are not still, Jesus said, not everyone who does that will enter. Why?
Because they're using talk instead of action.
Because they are all talk and what? No action. Or another way of saying is that actions do not correspond to their talk, with their words. Yes, more?
Yeah, similar. Their heart is not with God.
Their mouth is with God. But their heart is not with God. And you know that God can see through. Yeah? He can see through and see your heart. Yes? Any other answer?
They have not completely yielded to the will
of God. They have what? Please put your hands together for that answer. I like it. They have not completely yielded to the will of God. Matthew 6:24 says, you cannot serve God and mammon. Ask yourself a question. Who is my role model? If you have a problem with Jesus being your role model, the person you want to be like, you are not yet truly in genuine faith. If you are a genuine believer, the number one person you want to be like is who? It's Jesus. If you have a problem with it, there is a problem with the genuineness of your faith. If it doesn't sit right in your heart, so your heart needs adjustment or conversion. Hallelujah. They have not completely yielded. You have not completely embraced Jesus. You have embraced Jesus side by side with an idol. There's an idol in your heart. Someone said their heart is not right. There's an idol. Yeah? You are trying to mix and match. Now, if your ultimate goal is not to enter heaven, you don't have any problem. You can mix as much, as many as you like. Yeah? It's like you went to Asda and they said, any three of these. Yeah? You got whatever three, you will still get the discount. I'm sure you understand what I'm saying. Amen? But if you want to enter, this is a serious matter. I'm trying to explain to you something here. It doesn't matter what any preacher tells you. Pay attention to what Jesus told you. Amen? Because on judgment day, and you read in your Bible, Jesus talking about judgment day, or on that day, no preacher will be there to defend you. You know why? The preacher is trying to defend himself. He said, oh, Pastor Bob, where are you? Come and explain what you taught us. I followed your teaching. First of all, we say, please, you're your own. Amen. I want you just to understand that the job of the pastor, yeah, is to help you know God. But ultimately, it's your knowledge of God that determines your eternity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. People can applaud you and clap for you. Does not mean you are entering heaven. Amen? Let me tell you, if you want to be very sure of entering heaven, follow what Jesus He's telling you. You know why? He said, I is the way. Amen? And what? And he is what? The truth. And what? Is if there's anybody to follow, to be sure, is Jesus. And I'm telling you that the way you will know you are following Jesus is check yourself with the words of Jesus. And I thank God for the modern Bibles because they've marked the words of Jesus in red. That's your exam script. Amen? They have not yielded completely to the will of God. And I ask myself that question. I say, have I completely embraced Jesus? Let me ask this question. It follows on. It's the same question. It says, how can I be sure of entering heaven? Not just being on my way to heaven, but I want to make it home. Yeah? When this life is over. Because whether you like it or not, the day will come. Whether by rapture or by death, this life must end. Amen? But this life is imperfect, you know? It's broken. Hallelujah. It's a broken world. We were reading yesterday in our family devotion. He said, through one man, that's Adam, sin came into the world. And death came through sin. That death is not just physical death. It's spiritual death. Spiritual death is the reason for all the mess you see. Whether it's the war between Ukraine and Russia, or it's a crisis in the Middle East, or the problems in the politics, is all spiritual death. Hallelujah. Death came through sin. But thank God that that's not the end of the story. The Bible says that through one man, that's Jesus Christ. Yeah? Grace came. The abundance of grace. Amen? And the gift of righteousness. So that just as death reigned, now life can reign. Yeah? Righteousness can reign. Not in the old world, but in your life. Amen. See, when you are praying for the nations of the world, you cannot pray that all the nations of the world should submit to God. Because the nations are people. Please don't generally smile and say the nations are people. It's people that need to submit to God. If people don't submit to God, nations can't submit to God. If people are not changed, nations cannot be what? Changed. So the gospel is the hope of the nation. Hallelujah. As lives are changed. So when I'm praying like, God, change my nation. What should I really be praying? God, change the people. So I say, but oh, in my nation, there are many Christians. Everybody goes to church on a Sunday. So why is my nation not changed? Somebody give me the answer. I'm giving you a real life situation. You have a nation that there are many Christians and they go to church on Sunday. Yet the nation is corrupt. Yeah? And backward. Why?
The people have not changed. The nation cannot change.
Yeah. Why those Christians? Okay, let's let me not jump.
Bit controversial here, but has the church been too quiet for too long and not really shown its presence and its belief?
You're still in the same zone I'm talking. Yeah? Hallelujah. If a nation is not changing, yeah? Either they have very few Christians or the Christians are ineffective. Yeah? Or the Christians are not genuine Christians. They will come to church on Sunday and sing with the best voice, dance better than you, use the best equipment. Then when they go back into the world, they go and commit the same atrocities that unbelievers do. So now, no matter how much prayer you pray that that nation should change, it will not if the Christians are not genuine. Why? Jesus said, you are the light of the world. And you are the salt of the earth. Every compromise you allow in your life as a believer, yeah? Every compromise you allow, you are contributing to the agenda of Satan. Let me say that again. Every compromise you allow in your life, yeah, you are leaving a door for Satan to walk. But every obedience you practice in your life, you are leaving a door for God to walk. Hallelujah. If you as a parent, for example, mother or father, you say you're a believer, but you are compromised. That aspect of your life in which you are compromised, you are causing problems for your children. You are affecting the genuineness of their faith. Your compromise is affecting the genuineness of their faith because you are modeling the wrong thing to them. Hallelujah. Jesus said, if the salt has lost its taste, where will you salt in it? He said, you don't light a lamp, then where do you put it? Under the bed or the basket. Yeah? Why? If the light is hidden, it is useless. Amen? Where do you put the light? You put it on the lampstand, where it is visible and can have impact. Then change will come. So when we are praying for our nation, just remember that the fundamental aspect, first start praying for the people. Start praying that people will know God. Pray for the Christians, that God will raise up genuine Christians, genuine disciples. Not those that are mixing and matching. Because those that are mixing and matching, they are not on their way to heaven. I'm telling you. No, I didn't tell you. Jesus did. Amen? Amen? He did. Amen? So let me ask you a question again. How can I be sure? Because I don't know about you. Amen? I don't know about you. But me, I want to be sure that I will enter heaven. Amen? I'm not interested in the party. Personally, I'm not. I don't know about you. I'm not interested in the party. I'm interested in the product. Amen? I'm interested in the destination. Amen? I want to enter heaven. Please turn to your neighbor, smile at them. Ask them. Say, do you want to enter? Or you just want to walk the world? Amen? It's not enough to walk the way. Where should we go? All that walk, all that long walk for nothing. Amen? Look, this is not just an evening walk. You know, Brother Nick and Staden going for an evening walk. Yeah, an evening walk in the woods. And that's refreshing, isn't it? By the way, walking is good. You should walk. Amen? Find time to what? Walk. If you have time and energy, yeah? Run. It's good for your heart. Amen? Running is not just about losing weight. It's also about what? The health of your heart. Amen? If you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, what do? Crawl. Whatever you do, keep moving. Amen? Hallelujah. 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 But this journey of Christianity is not just about an evening walk. It's a walk to a destination. The destination is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is giving us the criteria of entering heaven. This is not just about the way to heaven. Because we know the way. Who is the way? It's Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah? But he's telling us now, Jesus the way himself is telling us the criteria to enter. Now, if you don't want to enter heaven, I can't help you. All my words will just be bouncing off your hair and bouncing back. But what I can do for you is not deceive you. Yeah? I want it so that on judgment you never say, oh, but Pastor Ben did not tell me. No. I'm telling you, if you miss your way on judgment day, all I want to be hearing is, oh, but Pastor Ben told me. Amen. But, of course, I don't want you to miss your way. Amen. That's why I'm in business. From the earthly point of view, materially, it's not really the most profitable business. You understand? But spiritually, yeah, it's worth it. Amen. When you're doing the work of God, it's not necessarily the most profitable materially. But the value of the work you're doing is measured in souls. Amen? And the Bible makes us understand one soul is worth more than all the material riches of this world. Because he said, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world? Imagine they give you the whole world in your bank account. Yeah, what? What will you call yourself? Is rich good enough to say? If the whole world was liquidated into money and put it in your bank account, what will you call yourself? Did you know it's not good enough? The whole riches of the world, the oil, the diamond, the gold, even the people, they're your slaves. Amen. You are super, extra, duper rich. But the Bible says that if someone gains the whole world and lost their soul, is lost. Because he said, what shall he profit? They didn't make a profit, they made a loss. So one soul, just one, is worth more than all the riches of the world. Of course, you may not understand that on this side of eternity. But on the other side, you will see clearly. But the only problem is that by then, it's too late. Anybody who has crossed over cannot change their destiny anymore. Where there's life, there's hope. Amen? That's the value of being alive. Something can change. Amen? Your story can still change. Your destination can still change. Your circumstances can still change. Your health can still improve. Hallelujah. You can still form new relationships. There is hope. When you are alive, there's what? There's hope. Something can get better. Hallelujah. But when you are gone from this world, it can't change. Your destiny is fixed. You can't add to it. And you can't remove from it. Hallelujah. So question again. How can I be sure of entering heaven? Because eternity is the destination we are all going to, whether we like it or not. How can I be sure that when I leave this world, whether by rapture or by death, I will enter heaven? Yes, I need some answers. Yes, sir.
Do you have a living relationship with God daily?
A living relationship. A living, active relationship with Jesus. More?
It's just the opposite of the other question, to completely yield to the will of God.
Complete. Any other answer? Let me take some more answers, then I'll come back there.
In terms of a practical application, in other words, the how-to, should we just be reading the word as often as possible and always keeping God in our focus at the front of our mind?
Amen. It's part of the answer, what I want, and I'm going to change gear very soon based on what you said now. Yeah, any other answer before I move on? Yeah? You establish or you verify the will of God, yeah? Then you live according. Yes. Any other one before I move on?
If you love your neighbor like yourself, like God said, then
yes, it's part of the will of God. It's not all, by the way. I want you to understand that loving your neighbor as yourself is not the first commandment. But the world will try to make you know that feel like it's the first commandment. So what can be wrong with love? Which kind of love? Amen. The first commandment is to love the Lord your God with all what? Your heart. And what? And your soul. And your, and what? And your might and your strength. Your mind and your strength. That is the first commandment. Amen. Then the second one that comes after is your neighbor. It's not the, you can't, if you reverse it, yeah, big trouble. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's open the Bible and go back there. Matthew 7. So, brother Gino, you are very much in gear with my question so far. Verse 21. Let's pay attention. You read it. My job in teaching just to make it clearer because it's there right before you. It must be there. Matthew 7:21. Yes? Who is ready? Matthew 7:21. Please pay attention. Pay attention.
Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom.
Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. Not everyone who comes to church. Not to even talk about those who don't come. Amen. Amen. Sometimes you think that you look at the statistics and say, okay, many people don't come to church. I mean, in England, less than 5% of the population attend church on Sunday regularly. Yeah? So if you attend church, you say, I have tried. But Jesus said that, he didn't say, not everyone in the world will enter heaven. Hallelujah. Pay attention to the Bible. Don't just pay attention to what Jesus is saying. He did not say, not everyone will enter heaven. He said, not everyone will call out to me, Lord, Lord. He's talking to the church here. Make sense? Continue, please.
But only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven.
Okay. So what's the answer? What's the criteria for entry heaven? You do the will of the Father who is in what? In heaven. Hallelujah. Question. What is the will of God? I mean, we now know that if I want to be very sure of entering heaven, daily, I need to commit myself to doing the will of God or the will of the Father. So the next one I'm asking myself, what is the will of the Father? Yes? Some of the answers we're giving, I just want us to say it again or say it in a different way so that it's clear. What is the will of the Father? What is the will of the Father? I'm talking to believers. I'm not talking to unbelievers. When I want to talk to them, I go out and preach. Amen? But when I'm talking to believers here, for the unbeliever, you don't teach them, you preach. It's preaching that saves the dead, the lost. But the believers, you teach. When you start preaching to a believer, it's because they are rebellious and hard of hearing. Then you preach to them to wake them or bring them back to life. But if they are alive, you teach them so that they can grow. Amen? What is the will of the Father?
I think the will of the Father is given to us in the Word of God. And he said we should not just be hearers only of the word. We should be doers.
The will of the Father is that you what? You be doer. The will of the Father is that you keep his commandment. Amen? And in case you say the commandment are too many, he summarizes it for you in two. Love the Lord your God. With what? All you are, and all your soul. And someone say, what's wrong with you? Say, I'm into God. If you're ashamed of saying that, you have a problem. Amen. I'm into God, and I'm not ashamed of it. That's my love. When I'm loving God with all my heart, I'm into God. Make sense? If I'm loving God with all my heart, I'm into Jesus. Amen. I'm into Him. I'm abiding in Him. And He has my attention. Amen? He has my attention. During the week, they gave me a promo on my TV. So they could change my Skybox. I've been a long time customer. I refused to change my box because I didn't want to pay extra money. So after 15 years, they told me that your box has expired. We'll no longer be able to service it for you. So we're going to give you a new box free. I mean, the newer box. So I said, thank you, Jesus. So they changed the box. And of course, I know exactly where they are going. They give me Sky Cinema 2 months free. After that, £19-20 a month. You get it? I said to myself, you will never catch me. So one of the evenings, I think that happened this week, I just pressed home. There's a home button on my TV. I'm sure somebody understands it. Somebody has a Sky Q. And then the homebody will start showing you all different types of suggestions. Then I saw a movie. I don't want to tell you the title of the movie. And this movie is a series. It's an action movie. And I know in days past, as a believer, I enjoy this action movie. I've done series 1, series 2, series 3. Up to 2016. Yeah? Then I ditched movies. It's voluntary. Because I saw it was having an impact on me. But years have passed. This 8 years. So, I now see the 4th series and the 5th series. I say, oh, thank you, Lord. Everything was calm. I finished my sermon for the day. I said, today, movies rated 12. And then the main thing there is just, it's action, so it's violence. There's no other thing. And now you're wondering what I'm talking about. So I said, I'm going to enjoy this movie today. So I started. But it was then I realized what has changed in me over 8 years. As I began to see the main hero, you know, killing people or fighting people or people, you know, just shooting down people, a little divided, it was just like a dagger in my soul. Because the sensitivity of my soul has changed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's love. When you love the Lord your God, yeah, it affects the sensitivity of your inside. Hallelujah. The love of God, when it consumes you, it purifies you. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's where you want to be. That's where you want what? To be. I didn't even want to know the rest of the story. I slept. I didn't finish it. I said I'll finish it the next day. So when I slept, all my intention that the next day I'll plan myself better. Because this was late. I went to bed because it was late. The next day I'll plan myself better. Start early. And then, in my dream, I saw that a virus had entered my phone and destroyed all my files. And I'm asking my friend, my spiritual friend, that what has happened? And then I woke up. And the Holy Spirit is telling me, you can't continue watching that. Now, he may not tell you that if that's not your level of consecration. Jesus, sometimes you wonder, oh, what is Pastor Bell saying? You see, the Bible says in a great house, there are different type of vessels. There are some that are gold, some that are silver, and some that are precious stones. But there are other types of vessels too in that house. You pay attention. They are all in the great house. Yeah? That great house is the kingdom. This one that we are pursuing. Yeah? Not the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. You know, we are in the kingdom of God now. Yeah, we are pursuing, but the end of the destination of the kingdom of God is the kingdom of heaven. When heaven will come to earth. But in that grace, there are also vessels of what? Of wood. And what? And clay. Some vessels, they are for the most honorable use. When God is looking for somebody to, for an honorable use, someone he wants to depend on and rely on. Somebody he needs to do a special assignment for him. He goes to the ones that are for honorable use. Hallelujah. But when he just wants to do something that is incoming, like for example, you know, if I'm doing some garden work and I want to just, you know, pack up some sand, you know, from my garden and move it somewhere else, I'm not going to use my most special vessel. I'm going to find one dirty plastic that was thrown into one side of the garage to use. Hallelujah. And I was saying, if a man purge himself from all this unclean stuff, you'll be a vessel unto honor. Sanctified. Useful for the master. And prepared for every good work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the criteria to be sure that you enter heaven is that you are doing the will of the Father. I'm telling you from the bottom of my heart, don't gamble with your eternity. Amen? And someone says, you know, but this preacher said, don't worry about the preacher. What did Jesus say? What did Jesus say? Hallelujah. Let me see how we are doing with time. So now we're going to move closer to Brother Greg. So someone read Matthew 7:24-27. And when we finish unpacking this, we'll finish it there. Matthew 7:24-27. Please pay attention. Pay attention. Please touch your neighbor. Turn to them. Turn to your neighbor. Smile at them. Tell them, pay attention. This is so important. I cannot overemphasize it. When you are receiving the word of life, pay attention. Because that word determines your life. Hallelujah. Your life is not going to be determined by what people say or what people do. People will say different types of things, and people will do different types of things. It's an old story. Yeah? But life is in Jesus. And when you pay attention to what he has to tell you, and you do what he has to tell you, therein is the path of life. Yes, Matthew, I saw your hand. Matthew 7:24-27. We look at that and then we finish it there. Maybe another 10 minutes.
Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house in the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall.
Amen. We are talking about the difference between a wise man and what? And a foolish man. A wise man came to church and made it into heaven. A foolish man came to church but did not make it into heaven. Is that simple enough? Amen? Another version. Amplified and New Living. Matthew 7:21-23. Which one do you have? Okay. I had to get a young man, a young person. Matthew 7:21. She has upstaged you. Matthew 7:24-27.
So everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like
they hear it and they do what? They put it into action. They act. They take it seriously. They build their life on it. It's not enough to know the Bible. You have to live the Bible. Amen? You have what? To what? Live. You have to make up your mind. Don't gamble. I don't know which church you went to. And they told you that you can just gamble with God. Don't gamble. He said, it's not enough to hear it. You have to act on it. Live it. Practice it. Do what it tells you. Hallelujah. That is guarantee. If you want to be sure, do what it tells you. If you don't do it, you are gambling. You are gambling. You don't gamble with something you cannot change. An outcome you cannot change. You want to make sure. Amen? When you cross over, you can't change it. So make sure now. Hallelujah. Please continue.
We'll be like a wise man, a far-sighted, practical, and sensible man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods and torrents came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like foolish, stupid man who built this
house on the sand. Are you with me? They heard. What did not want? We need to practice. Question. Let me ask a question. Let's stop it there. The question is, why will someone hear the word of God and not act on it or put it into practice? What is the problem? I'm just thinking as a pastor, what are the reasons why someone will know the truth but yet not do anything about it or put it into practice? Why?
Because they still enjoy the pleasures of the world.
Please put your hands together for that young lady. You know what she said?
They know.
They know.
Would they still enjoy the pleasures of those wrong things they are doing? Hallelujah.
That's why I was into a message yesterday. He said, it's not enough to love God. You also have to fear God. Because the Holy Spirit is also the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. And the Bible talks about Jesus, you know, learning the fear. Yeah? Of the Lord. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. Hallelujah. Yes, loving God is more important. Yeah? But within love is an holy fear. Hallelujah. It's reverence. Oh. You see, when you have reverence, you don't take for granted. Hallelujah. You know, if someone told you, let's talk about human love, which is even inferior love to God's love. Someone told you they love you. Yeah? He said, yeah, the sugar in my tea and the honey in my pot. And you have the butter in my saucer. And then, after all that, they bought you lovely flowers, you know, and what else, I don't know. I'm not that romantic. Amen? Then, they start taking you for granted. Will you feel loved? Let me ask my sister. Someone who takes you for granted, do you feel they love you?
No.
No. Even if they bought you the nicest flowers? Yeah? Made you your favorite food? Took care of your dog and walked your dog? Amen. Amen. So within love is fear, but holy fear is not unrighteous fear. When you love, yeah, you don't take for granted. When you take it for granted, you don't have the fear of God. And if you lack the fear of God, it can take you to hell. Amen? Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. The fear of the Lord will motivate you to obey God even when there are pleasures the other way. Amen? Look at this way. I love God, but I love the pleasure too. With my spirit, I love God. With my flesh, I love what? The pleasure. Because the only language the flesh understands is what? Pleasure. The flesh is very unreasonable. You can't reason with the flesh. All it's looking for is what? Comfort and pleasure. And sometimes the voice of the flesh can be very strong. Amen? But the fear of the Lord will restrain you from the path of evil. Amen? Now that fear of the Lord is not just only what you know in your head. It's also what you get through fellowship. Sometimes you are feeling weak about something. But when you leave this church today now, there are some things you can't do today because the word of God has strengthened you. Maybe you did on Wednesday. But not today. Because you've heard the word. And that word of God has put power in you. Amen? Hallelujah? So, that's a good reason. Another reason, for someone to hear the word, but not put it into action. You edit, and you already told me you want to make heaven. That's why you even came to church in the first, although not everybody that comes to church comes because they want to make heaven. Some come because they just want a better life. Yes, what can be another reason? You hear the word of God, but you don't just put it into practice. Why?
There's need for one to keep on reading the Bible and getting in touch with other Christians for conversations and instructions.
Yes. One of the things that will sustain you, yeah, in the love of God and in the fear of God is fellowship. Communion and what? Fellowship. Because look, even you are weak, when you come to fellowship, you will meet somebody that is strong. Or you will hear the word of God. That word of God will fortify you. It will edify you. It will sanctify you. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're a dirty cloth and you cannot help yourself, what do you need to do? Sister Tony, please follow what I'm going to say. There's a dirty clothes in your house. It's dirty, but it can't help itself. It's just dirty and helpless on the floor. What's the only thing that dirty clothes needs to do to become clean?
To be washed.
Yeah, you know what you need to do? Throw yourself into the washing machine. Then just leave it there. That's what you have to do. The washing machine will do the rest for you. Hallelujah. The washing machine will do what? The rest for you. But if you are refusing, every time they're trying to pick you, you know, those dirty clothes like that. Every time you're trying to get there, they find a way to hide under the bed. Under the pillow. Yeah? You will not be crushed. Amen? Let me see what we're doing. Time we'll be rounding up there, I think. Okay, good. So I'll begin. Let me just round up in a couple of minutes. So, I want to enter heaven. Now, if you agree with me for yourself, say it with me. Say, I want to enter heaven. Amen. I think it through. Ask yourself. Really ask yourself. Don't just be carried away only by the things of this life. Yeah? The riches, the pleasure, the fame, the fortune. Yeah? On judgment day, your family cannot stand with you. They can't. Not even your spouse. They can't. Whether they misled you or not, they can't stand with you. Your pastor cannot stand with you. Hallelujah. You are going to face it alone. Amen? Think about it. Do I want to, at the end, do I want to enter? Or am I gambling? Now, let me tell you something. If you are gambling, you won't enter. Gambling does not work in heaven. Hello? There are no gamblers in heaven. Gambling is not the language of heaven. There's no jackpot. Amen? Hallelujah? God is not trying to make a profit off your soul, off the eternal destiny of your soul. That's why there's no gambling. You know, ultimately, behind every gambling is somebody trying to make a profit. It makes sense? Do you know that if there was no profit, there would be no gambling? The real villains of gambling are not the people that gamble, but the people that what? Provide the opportunity. The master gamblers are the people you go to gamble. They're the one making riches of your soul and your money. Hallelujah. If you cut their profit, gambling is over. Do you get it? You get it? I read in the news. They have an association of gambling providers. And they're always thinking of how to make sure that they operate within the law to make profit of you. Hallelujah. But God is not in that business. Hallelujah. So, don't gamble. Because you are sure that if you are trying to gamble with your eternity, you're going to hit a loss. Absolutely 100%. Hallelujah. Those who enter heaven are those who hear and put it what? Into practice. Let's rise up. Talk to God. So today I want you to have a conversation with God about your eternity. Ultimately, that's why you're in church. Because the life you live on this earth is a drop in the ocean of eternity. Not everyone who calls to me, Lord, Lord, we enter the kingdom of heaven. Who said that? It's Jesus. Doesn't matter your beauty. It doesn't matter your height. It doesn't matter your riches. It doesn't matter your ethnicity. It doesn't matter your suffering or your enjoyment. That is not the issue. The issue is this. If you want to enter heaven. Now, if someone says, I don't believe in heaven, no problem. We will keep preaching to you until one day you can believe. But if you said you believe, you cannot afford not to enter. Because that means that you are a foolish person. You are foolish. If you are coming to church and you are not going to eventually enter heaven, you are foolish. You're just deceiving yourself and others. He said, It is he who does the will of my Father in heaven. And I tell you something. It's simple. It's a matter of the heart. If you're not doing the will of God, yeah, it's not because it's impossible. It's because your heart is not right. And you can, I want you to make your heart right with God today. Just think about the concept. Do I really want to just embrace Jesus totally? Jesus said, if you don't hit me and drink me, you don't have life. I've just come to the Bible. Yes, I'm sorted. I am hitting Jesus. I'm drinking Jesus. I'm living Jesus. I'm for Jesus. I'm not perfect, but I'm for Jesus. Can you make that decision today? You don't have to come out. I want to sort your heart. It's a heart problem. When you have a heart problem, yeah, it affects every other part of your life. Sort it out now and say, Lord, I repent for every way that I've not yielded to you or to your will. Anyway, I've gambled. I've played to the gallery. I repent. I'm not messing. I want to enter. So I dedicate myself to doing your will. When I want to obey your word to the best of my ability. And you know, when you decide in your heart, he will give you grace. I know you need grace. I myself need grace. But your heart has to be right. Amen. Make your heart and say, Lord, I give you myself. I give total commitment to you. Total loyalty, total devotion. He said you cannot mix and match God and any idol. That anything that is an idol in my life, I submit them to the cross. Let them be crucified there. Because any idol in your life, yeah, is going to perish with this world. Jesus reign in me. Have your way in me. I give you myself totally. Let me be a true believer that not only hears the word of God, but puts it into practice. If every believer put the word of God into practice, yeah, we will change our nation. We will change our town. We will change our family. The reason why we're not having that change is that believers are compromised. Yeah? They hear one thing in church, they go and do something different. That's why righteousness is not prevailing. Lord, help us. We ask for your grace. In Jesus' name.